Aaron Rodgers is going to go on a tear this week, it is going to be beautiful to watch. It's going to be poetry in motion. He is going to be fucking getting everything and anything he wants. I think Rodgers is going to come out with the power of like fucking 10 armies. I think the Packers win by a touchdown at least.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Sportsman. You heard about it, here we are. My name is Neil Arnett, aka The Big Ticket. I'm joined by Joey Cold Cuts, Joey Jags. Call him whatever you want. Joey, introduce yourself. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, Ticket. How are you? I mean, this is episode 3 now. Third time's a charm, they say, no?
I think we're starting to finally get very comfortable behind these mics. We're getting a little more structure. We're going a little longer. I feel good today, man. I feel really good. Our first topic today is something that happened today. It's breaking news today. This is coming out tomorrow, so it'll be day old news, but I'm sure we'll still all be talking about it. Cam Newton with the Panthers. He's going back home. He's going back to Carolina. They desperately needed a quarterback, and they got Cam Newton for the low, low price of $10 million a year. $4.5 million is fully guaranteed, and $1.5 million roster bonus. I mean, this guy got the deal of a century. I thought whoever was going to get this guy was going to get him for $3 million, 1 year. We'll see how it goes. Carolina through the kitchen sink at this guy.
This is going to be an utter disaster. There is no way in my mind that this plays out well. This is like the guy who dates a girl who is bad news. And everybody says, you know, they've had a bad breakup in the past. This time's going to be different. No, it ain't. It is going to be exactly the same thing we've seen before. He is going to start whining and complaining the second that he doesn't get something that he likes, or they're going to start losing. Listen, I hope for Carolina's sake, I'm a big Matt Rule. Yeah. I'm a big Matt Rule guy. He was from Baylor, right? I think he's a good coach. I think he calls it as he sees it. I think he's a guy I can get behind. Unfortunately, I don't think he had any decision making in this process. I don't think he had a choice. I think this was the Panthers organization saying we are going to go with Cam Newton. And, you know, Cam Newton's the big winner out of this, sitting back, kind of just, you know, waiting for someone to go down. And ultimately, you know, the fact that it happens to the Panthers, though, you got to think they must have had to bite a lot of pride they had to bring this young man back.
And for the price, I can't get out. I can see them signing him. I can't believe he got that kind of deal. But I agree with you. This is a bit like when you're dating a girlfriend and then you break up with them. And then it's been a couple months. You're feeling a little lonely. You miss the sex. Things weren't going the way you thought they would in single life. And you start to miss all the little things. You forget about the bad things. And you only remember the good times. The Super Bowl in this case. And they're coming back. And you get back together with that girlfriend. And it never works out like you think it would. You get back. You have sex again. It feels great. You're like, oh my God. And then a couple weeks go by and the same things that bothered you the first time are going to bother you again the second time once you're done having the beautiful reunion sex. I mean, I think Carolina is going to love having him the first couple days he's walking in that building for practice. They're going to be like, Cam's back. Welcome home, kid. And then just like you said, he's going to start demanding things. He's going to start looking for certain things. He's going to be asking, I want full control of this playbook. And they're going to be like, oh, fuck, what did we fucking do? Luckily, it's a one-year deal. I think that he has potential, though. I think he's a more seasoned vet. I think he did a lot of growing up in New England with Bill Belichick. I think we could very well be seeing a new Cam who's willing to take on whatever role he has. A lot of pieces there.
I disagree completely. Now, the Panthers are in a bye this week, yes?
I'm saying there's a possibility. I think it's just 90-10. I think 90% it's gonna go poorly. 10%.
Are the Panthers on a bye this week?
The Panthers, I believe they are on a bye. Yeah.
So that does, I will say, that does play into his hand well, because it gives him a little bit of time to come join the team, get the playbook down. I think if he would have rolled right into it this weekend, it would have been a train wreck. I just don't believe in this guy, dude. I watched him with New England, and you could say, oh, his receivers, this and that. He can't throw the ball. I mean, when he was in Carolina, he could throw the deep ball. He could run, he could throw, he could pass. He could do a little bit of it all, but I don't know what's happened to him. He just looks like a shell of himself, but he still has the over the top fucking cocky attitude, the arrogance of all these other players that we talked about on our last episode. He's a prima donna. And I think in many ways, he draws all this attention to himself. He makes it about him. And unfortunately, when you have a player who's a receiver, he can make it about him, but it really doesn't mean it's about him. When you have a guy who's a quarterback, it is going to be about him. So I think I don't see any way this goes well. I mean, maybe you and I are disagreeing on this. I just don't think from the start he's the right fit. I don't think he's the right guy. This just goes and, you know, I don't know. I don't like it at all. I don't like him.
I think we're all getting that. I think it's very evident that you do not like Cam Newton. I just think there's a possibility that he comes and he's a little wiser and he's more likely to check down than throw that deep ball like he used to. And I think just those years under Belichick made him a little bit wiser. I just think there's a small chance that things do work out. Like we said in the beginning here, Matt Rhule is a fantastic coach. He coached Temple way back when. These are only a few good years they had. Then he left for Baylor, had a great run with Baylor. And then now he's doing great things in Carolina. He was just stuck with fucking Sam Darnold.
Well, they're not very good. I mean, yeah, Darnold's been terrible. I think the thing is they're getting away from what makes Carolina Panthers the Carolina Panthers, and that's McCaffrey. Now, he was hurt. But I do think if you don't continue the narrative that offense has to run through him and not Cam, you're going to see a lot of problems right out of the gate.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I think the maturity is going to allow him to understand that. Now, Christian McCaffrey is the glass man. This man comes back for a day. He plays great, and then he's hurt again for another 6 months. I mean, we don't know what we're getting out of him, but I think if he is healthy, Cam Newton is now at a place in his life where he understands I'm not the number one here. The offense, just like you said, runs through Christian. It runs through Christian McCaffrey. And I think that can lead them at least into a playoff spot,
That's the only way that they will be able to do anything is if he can put his pride aside and kind of allow the offense to run the way that it needs to and not try to be the guy. I think, unfortunately, you're going to see him try to run for touchdowns. You're going to see him try to scramble. And I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think there's way too many good teams in the NFC. They started out a little hot, and I think they have a losing record right now. They just look terrible. There's a lot. The other thing is their defense started out so well, and their defense has plummeted the last few weeks. It's been terrible. I think that there's some fundamental issues on this team. I don't see them making the playoffs. I don't see the Cam Newton thing working. Hopefully he's turned a page.
This is very reminiscent of other people who have gone home before with varying degrees of success. There are the people who return home and it's beautiful in the championship. And we just have a beautiful run for the city. And there are other times where a guy returns home. He's a little bit older. He's looking just to retire with the team, go down with the ship that he started on. Who's someone that comes to mind for you, Cutsy?
Well, I don't even think he's in the same stratosphere as Cam Newton, because I don't think Cam Newton's very good. But for me, I think, if there's one, it would be LeBron James going back to Cleveland. You know, it's kind of like when he left, there was a lot of animosity. People hated him. They thought he was garbage. They were burning his jerseys. Then he came back, and it was the best, most sweet story. It's the reason why I do truly love LeBron. They beat Golden State, the team that was the perennial fucking powerhouse, the big time favorite to win it all. And LeBron just did phenomenal things. And Kyrie was very good too. But that's a guy, I think that's a story. That's the pinnacle of how it can come back to being really good. I think this is not even going to come close to that. But if you're asking me, that would be my guy. That would be the situation where I think ideally everything came back. But LeBron is not Cam Newton. Well, is there someone that you think about? Is there a situation like you could compare this to, or that you would think that this might relate to?
Yeah, I mean, you could obviously go with Michael Jordan. He left for...
You're comparing Cam Newton.
No, we're just talking about stories where people who have left and then come back, and sometimes things can go well. I'll tell you another one where it didn't go well was Allen Iverson. He was Mr. Philadelphia. He was our guy. Didn't matter what was going on. Yeah, Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid were going to a bunch of NFC championships. We had Lindros back then. Things were going well with the Flyers, but Allen Iverson was Philadelphia. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, things never worked out, and after a long, great career, he goes off to Denver. But then he comes back home and retires with the 76ers. And it's, you know, it was a sweet story, but it was not the LeBron James. It was not the, it's beautiful and we're going to win a championship. It was, it's a little sad, but he's our guy and let's let him retire in Philadelphia. And that's exactly what we did. And I was just saying on the other end of that coin, just like you said with LeBron, Michael Jordan, you know, he didn't leave for another team, but he left. He left for baseball. He left for baseball and he came back and he led the Bulls to a beautiful 3 championship run. You know, it can go either way. I think if I'm leaning one way or the other with Cam, of course, I think this is just going to be, maybe this is his last season ever, especially if he plays poorly. He'll retire with the Carolina Panthers and that's going to be that.
I agree with the Iverson comparison. I think that that's really relevant. I think Cam's towards the end of his career. I would personally take Colin Kaepernick over Cam Newton.
You currently today, you would take.
I would have to see him off the Netflix street. I just do not have, and I don't believe. My
God, what an egregious take! This guy hasn't played football in 5 years.
My point is that I don't like Cam Newton. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's going to do anything for this team. Quite frankly, I think they just buried themselves $40 million that they could have used elsewhere. I really don't like it.
I mean, next thing you hear, this guy's going to be wanting Steve Young to come off the Monday Night Football team and leave the Carolina Panthers. To
Word on the street, Warren Moon is ready to work out for the team.
Is ready for Brett Favre's third career return.
Imagine like, Brett Favre coming back. Oh, guys on a wheelchair rolled onto the field. Plays one series, breaks his fucking back.
Yeah, well, just to wrap it up, I don't think that this Cam Newton thing was a wise choice, especially not for Carolina. I think there's a lot of wounds that were never healed there with him. And that being said, compounded by all the things that you had already said, he is just not the guy. He's too big of a presence. He takes a lot of limelight. He's a distraction for the team. And I think this has a real good chance of just being abysmal season for the Carolina Panthers, going even further into the pit.
I'm going to enjoy it. Robbie used to work at my hotel, and you know, he shared with me one night after it happened, he was so just disgusted. He was in the elevator with Cam, and the door opened and he saw, and he said, good afternoon, Mr. Newton. And Cam doesn't respond to Robbie, but instead Robbie said he could feel like that he was staring right at him. And he looks at him, he goes, do you know me? And Robbie goes, excuse me? He goes, do you know me? And Rob goes, well, no, not personally, Mr. Newton. He goes, then don't say hi to me. You don't know me. Don't say hi. Like the pompous ass that this man is, he just puts himself on a pedestal.
Especially as a hotel worker. I mean, Rob was there as a hotel worker. I mean,
he's doing his job. He's being courteous.
It's like, say hello to the guests.
You know, you make them feel welcome. It's like, it's part of your job. It's guest recognition. Yeah, and the guy's acting like he's asking him to fucking have sign an autograph or something.
Would you play Trevor Siemian over Cam Newton?
That's like asking, would you rather be diagnosed with brain cancer or with a black lung? I mean, it's...
All right, well, moving into our next subject here, we have Jokic. The other day, Jokic absolutely shoved the shit out of Markieff Morris. I mean, he launched his ass. And he got suspended one game for it. He paid the price, but it was in retaliation. Earlier on in the game, about just 30 seconds prior, Markieff Morris gave Jokic a pretty vicious elbow into the gut there. And walk me through your feelings through that. How do you feel about the suspension? Do you think he was just sticking up for himself? What do you think, Cutsy?
I maybe it's me. I don't take basketball things like this seriously, because it's just like – it's basketball. The guy pushed him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it looks a little bad, but it's a push. You know what I mean? Now, when I think egregious or something, it's like when Miles Garrett took his helmet out and smashed, what's his name?
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, was like, whoa, you know? Like, I feel like if you're going to get suspended, at least throw a punch or do something. Like, he pushed him in his back.
Yeah, he pushed him pretty fucking hard. He launched him. I mean, it was – but I agree with you. I agree. I don't know if that warrants the suspension, especially – you know, it's one thing in the game if they're going to make a call in the game, but the league office, when they make the suspension call, they have the whole footage. So they got to see that what Markieff Morris just absolutely elbowed the shit out of him before, and then he was just retaliating. So if you want to make a call in the game when you don't have all the facts, I get it. But when the league office has access to all that tape and still decides to suspend him – what are we doing here? What are we doing?
No, you know what? The end of the day, how I feel about it doesn't change the fact he absolutely should have been suspended for what he did. I just would love to see a little more chippiness in basketball. I think that the game has become, and we talked about this, I don't know if either the last episode or the one before, we did talk about the fact that a lot of the physicality in basketball is just not there anymore. I love to see players playing with an edge. And there are going to be guys like Morris and stuff who are going to try to get under, the ex-reigning MVP's skin, you know what I mean, to try to throw him off his game. So I don't think that what Morris did was wrong. And, you know, Jokic responded, he should be suspended for that. If you look at it, it was pretty outlandish. I just wish that there was a little bit more physicality. I like to see players like Jokic playing with the chip on their shoulder and saying, listen, I'm the MVP. I'm the reigning MVP. I'm not going to take that kind of shit. You know, like I hope that you show me a little respect and I'm going to fucking stand up for myself.
And even if you're not him, I mean, I think he absolutely has every place to do that, but I think all players should now be able to stick up for yourself. You know, if you're not going to fight your own battles, who else is going to do it for you? I mean, I think a lot of players are taking advantage, both in football and in basketball, this retaliation thing. I think they know if you start shit and you get them to punch you or you get them to shove you or start talking shit back, that's what the refs see. And that's who the ref punishes. So it's been this pussy move for years in both football and basketball where guys think if they can just start shit and get the other guy to hit them, they'll get the penalty. And I wish these sports like NBA would start pushing back and say, hey, it's okay if our players back themselves up, if they want to go stick up for themselves. I really think that that's the way this should be moving. And I think basketball is getting there with the physicality back. I mean, it's a big man's league in the last, pretty much since this season started. Damian Lillard's of the world, Steph Curry's of the world are getting upset with the new officiating and how guards aren't getting the same leeway they used to.
Well, one thing that helped the NBA was the launching pad fucking rule where guys would literally jump, not vertical, they would jump horizontally into a player from the three-point line and get a call and be able to go shoot three free throws. I think that them removing that was really well-tuned. I will say to your first point, if you look at the NFL now, they have the taunting calls and they're starting to use that. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I do think it helps eliminate a little bit of the trash talk, trying to get into somebody's head, like instigation side of things. I think they're trying to keep that to a minimum, and who knows what they're calling taunting. The thing is I would love to hear as a fan, as a spectator, when there's a taunting thrown and you see the player calling, you don't know the context of what the player is saying. So obviously they have to censor it because if he's saying, I'm going to go fuck your mother, whatever, pardon my French, I know, but I'm saying like there's lines that you can and cannot cross.
Right.
So I don't know. I wish there was a way that they could do it without obviously if the line's so outlandish, you don't want to have that televised, but it would give more of an insight as a viewer just as to why what merits a taunting call, what doesn't. I do think though that is a way that they're trying to remove the instigation or trying to get the retaliation of these other guys. I think that might be one way towards moving into that direction. Do you disagree?
I think some of the shit they say is probably pretty crass and pretty raunchy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why you won't.
So the league is never going to contextualize it for the spectator. Yeah, number 21 said to go fuck your mother and everyone who's died in your family, go fuck themselves. So therefore, there is a personal foul on number 21. You know, they're never going to give us that. I'd love to see if the NFL wanted to put out some criteria. You can tell people to go fuck themselves, but you can't say to go fuck their mothers. That's where a taunting foul's going to come in.
But do you agree with me, though? Because, like, when you're just watching on TV and you see them jarring, you know, face-to-face, you don't know what's being said. So you could be like, how the fuck can the ref call that taunting? But if you were there, like if you heard what was said or what was done, you know, then maybe you'd be like, oh yeah, that was out of line. That is too much.
I tell you what, I don't like it. I wish it would be more like hockey where these guys are saying all kinds of shit on the ice. And then, hey, we got a problem. We'll handle it real quick. Just pause the game for about 2 minutes. We're going to go at each other here. And if I think football should be able to do that. I mean, if these guys want to punch another guy in the helmet and break their hand, by all fucking means, I think you need to get out some of this energy. I think you should be able to talk trash. I think that's what sports has been forever. And now because things are so televised, we're just seeing more of it. I think it's ridiculous. I think you should be able to handle it however you want to handle it. Say whatever you want to say. It's part of sports, man.
I disagree with you, Ticket. I disagree with you. In hockey's the only sport you're allowed to fight. Right. In hockey, you're on skates. You're turning the half the time they fall down to the ground and they're able to separate them. In basketball, these guys are fucking mammoths. They tower over the refs by like 2-3 feet. And it's like, dude, I don't know how a referee in basketball is supposed to break up a fight.
Fair enough. Well, maybe they're not allowed to fight, but what they can do is say whatever the hell they want. And then that energy can fuel them to just, what's a better fuck you than going out and beating them that night. So I think that they should be able to get in each other's faces and talk as much shit as they want. The taunting rule, I don't like it. That being said, I mean, there's no changing it. Apparently all the fans can make all the noise they want. The owners of the league, which Roger Goodell works for, love it. They have no issues with it. And that's not changing anytime soon. So I don't know what else we're going to do about it. I don't like that ref the other day against the Pittsburgh Steelers player, he looked like he fucking hip checked that guy. Oh, he was running around him and he just fucking hip checked it. You didn't, you thought that the ref was perfectly fine?
I don't think, I mean, here's the problem. And I do agree with what you're saying in the sense that if a player did that to the ref, it would be the end of the fucking world. I think that what was happening there, the ref saw him coming. He kind of braced himself. I don't know if he thought he was going to run into him or whatnot. Yeah, it was a little bit snide.
Oh, he braced himself by sticking his hip out so the guy would run into him instead of not running into him.
I mean, I don't know, dude. I think that it's, I think what I always say this, what should be good for one set of people should be good for the others. So I think if you're going to put out, you know, if a player did that to a ref, it would be absolutely a penalty, ejection, whatever. The ref should abide by the same rule. So in that case, I will give you the credit there. But I don't know, man. I think it's sad to me because I remember growing up and watching sports. And now I'm Canadian. I watch hockey. I watch fighting and hockey. But also with basketball, and we talked about this, there's, you know, you could be a little bit more physical. And what Jokic did was crossing the line for sure. My only point, and to wrap up this topic, was I think it is good to see players sticking up for themselves, especially players who are superstars. And Jokic was an MVP. He was demanding respect. And I think, you know what, at the end of the day, one game suspension is what should have been served because I don't think it merited any more of it. But tip of my cap to Nikola Jokic. This guy's not going to put up with shit.
Hold on. I think it is.
My Chick-fil-A just came.
Wow. Cuts. He got the Chick-fil-A, huh?
Oh, my God. This guy, where did he drop the food off? No. Bear with me 1 second, Ticket. Fucking A, man. What the fuck? Is with these fucking drivers.
Cutsy likes to do this thing where if a driver doesn't drop his food off right at the door, he complains until he gets the money refunded and he gets free credit for another meal. He's been doing it for a while now. It seems to work. He's batting 1,000 on that thing. But yeah, this he's angry that they didn't drop it off at his door, but he will be getting a free meal.
Got the feeling in your bones, make you feel right at home. Honey, does it well, keep me dancing till I'm dead.
All right, moving into our next topic here, Cutsy, I want to bring up Ben Simmons. Okay, it's something that's very close to my heart. I'm a 76ers fan. This story began back in, well, back in the playoffs of last year. Philadelphia is very upset with him. I'm upset with him. He doesn't seem mentally prepared. He can't get the flack. He just can't. He's, well, mentally, he's got
mental health issues, no?
Well, I'm getting to that, okay? And now, over the summer, he never talked to Philadelphia. He never talked to the organization. He basically ostracized himself from the city and from the organization. And then as we got closer to training camp, didn't come into training camp. Once the game started, said he's not going to play. I'm not reporting. I'm not playing for you guys. I'm not playing for anyone in Philadelphia anymore. I want out. And we started looking. We were like, all right, you know what? It's not the best fit. We'll start looking. And now every single time we try to find a new trade offer for him, get a little value for him, he does some stupid shit that makes his value plummet. He wants out, and yet he keeps dropping his trade value on purpose. How do you want us to move you when you continually drop your value, keep your name out of the headlines? First, he wants a therapist because he has mental health issues. He's not reporting to the team because of his mental health. Fair enough. We take that very seriously. I take that very seriously. I deal with it a bit myself. I understand. Now he doesn't want to take the therapist that the Sixers are offering him for free. He says, no.
Well, maybe he doesn't like that therapist.
He didn't even meet with the therapist, Cutsy. He doesn't want us to recommend him to a therapist, okay? What do you think about this guy? You've been watching him for a while now. Oh. You hear my side of things. Maybe you have a different take on it. Let us know what you think about that fucking scumbag.
I mean, Ticket, I'm not going against what you're saying. I just think you're very passionate when it comes to 76ers football, as you are with the Philadelphia Eagles. And to a lesser extent, the Philadelphia Flyers. You're a Philly guy. This is a guy who impacts your team. He is apparently one of your superstars, if not, I mean, I don't think he's your best player, but he's up there as one of the top players on your team. And now you're having these issues. I just think, like, you know, imagine you were in his situation and you were told you need to talk to this therapist. You know, it's like going to this specific team doctor. We've seen in the past some players, they're more preferenced. Look at the Eichel situation, right? The Buffalo Sabres said you need to go with this doctor who recommended this situation. He did not want to go that. It's his body. He wanted to go a different route and see a different doctor. They didn't agree about the way to go about it. Not to get off topic with Eichel, but I'm saying mental health should be considered a very serious thing.
It's a very serious thing, I believe. But what I'm saying is he didn't even meet with the guy.
Is that confirmed?
That's confirmed. He didn't even meet with the guy.
Well, then he's a piece of shit. Then
he's a trash bag, dude. He's a trash bag. And people keep forgetting. Every time we get a little distance between the basketball season, people think they just look at him with rose-colored glasses. They see all that talent and all that potential, and they just think, oh, yeah, well, maybe he can. And that's when we were going to get the most value for him, was over the summer, a little bit removed from the playoffs, okay? And then this kid just kept opening his mouth, and he kept talking, and he kept refusing everything. He showed up to our first practice with his cell phone in his pocket.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
He was disrespectful. Doc Rivers told him to go run a play. He said no. Doc Rivers said, again, go run that play. He said no, and Doc Rivers had to excuse him. And everything he does, even if he doesn't want to see our team doctor, how does it keep getting leaked to the media? Why can't this be handled in-house? He's creating this whirlwind of media storms around him that keep plummeting his value. And every time he shuts his trap for 1 week and he starts to go back up in value, something else happens. I'm sick of this fuck. I want him gone. I want him rotting in hell in Sacramento. No, I don't want him to go to a good team. I want him to go to an insignificant team where he can die a long basketball life there. Sacramento's the perfect place for him. People don't even know they play basketball in Sacramento. I want him there. Okay. I'm sick of this guy. I trade him for peanuts. I want him gone.
Whoa. You don't. You,
I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him.
You just counterbalanced. You counteracted everything you said. Trade him for peanuts, but you're talking about his trade value. You don't want peanuts.
We can't raise it because he keeps talking and doing stupid shit.
But you don't want, my point is, you don't want peanuts. You want something valuable in return.
Of course I don't, but this kid's not making it easy for us. He's trying to give us, he wants a piece of cake, okay? We're trying to bring the piece of cake. And every time we bring it, he slaps it out of our hand and says, where's my cake? That's the kind of game he's playing with us.
Maybe he's like a Black Forest chocolate kind of guy, and you're giving him a meringue. My point is this, is what's going to happen, and I'm going to forewarn you because it's going to be very tough to watch. You guys are going to end up trading Ben Simmons. He's going to go to a team like the Boston Celtics, a team that's, you know, has a very good structure in management and coaching and whatnot. And he's going to thrive, and it's going to be very hard for you to watch because it's going to happen. He has a lot of potential. He needs to be put in the right environment. But I think if he can re-find himself, I think this guy could be a steal at this point. And some team's going to take a chance on him. And if it's a team with a winning culture like the Celtics, it's going to be very hard for you, Ticket, because you're going to watch this man fucking come back to glory.
Yeah, there are some trade rumors about possibly a Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons swap. But to that point, I've been fully aware of that for a while. I mean, I said even with the Carson Wentz thing, I think that there are some times when it's not that the player stinks and it's not that the organization is being unreasonable. It's that sometimes you're just not right for a certain place and it's best for you to move on. Like Matt Stafford in Detroit, it was best for both of them to move on, and both can thrive without him. Not that the Lions are thriving, but they are moving in the right direction, I believe.
Far from fucking thrive.
But anyway, I think that Ben Simmons is that kind of guy. If he does go to the right place, I don't mind if he succeeds. I just know he's not going to succeed with us, so I want him gone. I could give a fuck about if he – it'll suck. Of course, it'll sting to watch him go play great and reach his potential with somebody else. But I will have to say, if it is a place like Boston, they are all the things you said. But the crowd, the fans in Boston are as rowdy, as strict, and as critical as Philadelphia. He could go to a place that could still win, but that has some easier fans, like San Antonio would be a good place for him. But if he goes to Boston, Joseph, if he goes to Boston and things don't work out quickly, those fans will be just as critical as Philly was. That's a tough place to play. That's a tough organization to play for if things aren't going your way.
I agree with you. I think he cannot go to a team like the Wizards. He cannot go to a team like Orlando. He'll fall apart. But if he goes to a team like I said, like the Celtics, or even I would even say if he went to a team like the Knicks, those fans will hold him accountable. Like you said, I actually think that it will be better for him for the long term, because he can't just kind of fucking stroll through practice and game days and not take it seriously. Like he'll have to, they will eat him alive.
Possibly. I mean, yeah, I think obviously the best places for him to thrive, not that I think he'll ever go there, would be San Antonio, Golden State. Portland would be another good place for him, just where he doesn't have to deal, because he does deal with the mental health issues. And the fan base in Philly, really, once it started to turn on him, you could watch it take a toll, and you could watch it daily take a toll on him. And I feel bad for that. And I think if he went to another place like Golden State, I think that he would thrive. And same with San Antonio getting under the guise of Pop, you know. But, you know, to wrap it all up, I just wanted to touch on this Ben Simmons thing. It was something that was on my chest. It's something that we see in the headlines almost every day. It's infuriating. I'm ready for this fucking guy to get out of here. I want to sweep him out the door and wipe my hands clean of him. And that's that.
I'm proud of you. You didn't lose it too much. You're very passionate when it comes to the Sixers, and I know you can't stand this guy. You kept yourself in line pretty good.
There will be a time and a place when I absolutely lose my top on this guy. I'm close. I'm boiling. The water is boiling where it needs to boil right now. You know, when it's too hot and there's too much water in there, it starts boiling over. I'm very close to that. The burner's getting hotter. It seems like there's a lot of water in this pot. We should have gone with a bigger pot. Okay. If we needed to make this much rice, we should have gone with a bigger pot. Okay. It's not all going to fit in here with how much water we have. But right now I'm just infuriated. I'm pissed, but let's see if we can get this Jaylen Brown thing to go through. I will be a happy man if it does, but if he keeps opening his mouth and even Boston's like, listen, I think we're going to hang on to Jaylen, I am going to lose it.
I hear you, Ticket. I hear there's some guys who just infuriate you, but let's move on to our last topic here, because I don't want you to get a fucking ulcer on me in mid show. I wanted to talk about, we did not do very well on our picks this past.
Correct.
I'm very upset. Monday night was a tragedy for me. I lost everything. I lost the pick on the Steelers, the cover, and I brought it down to 5.5. I lost fantasy because of that last drive from Justin Fields. I lost my pick for the Sportsman. I mean, it was a bad night.
It was a bad night. So my pick last week was the Saints minus six. That one did not cash. Trevor Siemian and that offense couldn't fucking get anything going, even though the defense played brilliantly. I did have the Chargers minus 1.5, came down to the wire. Didn't think it was going to be that fucking close, but it did cash. So that's our one win. I went, I'm 1-1, not thrilled with that.
Isn't it funny that the one game you won was against your own team?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I knew it so well. I mean, that I knew that
was bet against the Philadelphia Eagles every week. You'd probably have an unbelievable record.
You will make money. Over the course of the 17 weeks, you will make money if that's your strategy. Bet 100, 200 bucks every week, you'll come out on top.
All right, well, now is the time that we can rewrite some wrongs because we went one of three picks last week, which is just...
Yep.
I think we're better than that. I know we're better than that. And I'm going to start off with my pick of the week this week, which I'm so certain of it that I'm a little nervous looking at the line. I don't know if this ever happens to you. When you look at a line and you start to get in your own head before even making the line, like I'll scan all the games. I'll say, yeah, no, I'm not touching this. This is outrageous. This could go either way. And then I see you in game and you're like, this is it. This can't. And then you start looking at it again. You're like, this can't be right. And then you're like, what is Vegas thinking? And then it shifts to what do they know that I don't know? And then it's to the point where you're almost so certain of the pick that you almost don't take it because you're like, is this a trap game? Am I falling for their shit? That's where I'm at this week with my pick. I think it is absolutely a ridiculous line by Vegas. And you know what? If next week, we'll see if I'm right or not. If it is a trap, I have fallen into the bear trap. I am secured into it, and I am riding hard on the Tennessee Titans. -3 this week against the New Orleans Saints. They're playing at home. They're playing the New Orleans Saints with Trevor fucking Siemian. I said this guy was trash. I know he is trash. I am not convinced otherwise. And the Titans, without Derrick Henry last week, went in and blew the doors off of one of the best teams in the NFL. Mike Vrabel has these guys playing to a standard that is high. The defense showed up last week. I can't for the life of me understand how this is at -3. This is absolutely my pick. I am going with it. I can't understand it. I don't know what your thoughts are. I just don't know what Vegas knows that I don't know, because to me, this is an absolute stone cold lock.
That's hilarious, because before the podcast started, we were going to tell each other our picks. And I said, whoa, wait, I think we might have one of the same ones. And we do. I saw that. I circled that. Tennessee -3 at home. I don't understand that. At home versus an absolutely anemic Trevor Siemian offense, and their backup is a halfback. Okay, their backup quarterback is a halfback. They stink on offense, and Tennessee is rolling. I love AP. I love Adrian Peterson. I think this kid's going to be a star in this league. He's got a bright, bright future.
He's already a star.
He's a bright, bright star in our league. Has one more week of the play. So last week they kept running him up the tackles through the A gap, through the B gap, because he didn't know the playbook that well. He's a bounce outside guy. Okay. He's got another week with the offense, and I think they're going to be throwing him outside a lot more because he knows the playbook. He knows the audibles. He knows the offense. And all that being said, even you take him out, I mean, Tannehill, Vrabel, they've got this offense moving right now, even without Derrick Henry. I don't know what Vegas is thinking, but so that was one of my picks. The pick I am going to go with, since you went with Tennessee, I love that pick. I co-signed that pick. I'm on that pick too. But the one that I saw that just, it's a one that I really, really like this week. It's Browns +2.5 at New England. Okay, that's going to be a tough game. That's why I like that they're getting the points here. But they're coming off a week where they just waxed Cincinnati. They absolutely waxed them, dude. I mean, it was 42-13, I believe. And Baker Mayfield, without having to deal with Odell, knowing that Odell is off that team, he's got that offense moving like it should with those kinds of pieces.
I don't know if I like this pick.
And New England's playing better. New England's playing very, very good. I like them a lot this year, but I think the Browns getting the 2.5 is a very solid pick.
Well, they don't have Nick Chubb this week, I don't think. So
they don't, but the backup has been very capable. Darnish Johnson and
I don't think they have Kareem Hunt fully healthy either. So
no, he's been out for a while. Yeah, they don't have him.
But my point is that they're starting two best running backs, and this is what the Browns do very well, is they dictate the tone of game because they are able to run the ball so successfully. 100%. They take up a lot of time of possession. I would not be surprised, Ticket, and I'm just going to go on the record. We are going to go with your pick, and I hope it hits. Belichick is going to find a way to make Baker Mayfield beat them, and they are going to take away any running that they have. And I actually kind of like the Patriots here, but I am going to roll with your pick.
Fair enough. I agree.
I'm wrong. I just think this is one of those
things where the coaching
can make a difference. Stefanski is very aggressive.
He's a very good coach.
Stefanski is very good, but he's also very aggressive. I could see the first quarter or first two quarters, the Browns going for fourth down in New England territory, 4th and 2, 4th and 3.
I agree. Hey, listen, everything that you said. I've thought about a lot of those things. I like Darnish Johnson a lot, and I just like the way this offense is moving, and they have just so many pieces, which is why they can lose a guy like Chubb and still win games.
To Ticket, would you buy up a half point and get the Browns +3? Because I'd feel a lot better about that.
Absolutely. I would buy it up. Absolutely. I probably will, but I'm just going by what the Vegas lines were, telling the people what it was at. I like the +2.5. Get it at +3.5 if you can, if the odds don't shift too much, if you're going from 110 to 120 like that. But if it's jumping you all the way to a -130, yeah, you know, don't do that. I just really think that Baker Mayfield's starting to feel himself, and they just exploded. I think they were only getting a few games where they couldn't get over 13 points. They couldn't get over 14 points. And I think they just exploded last week. And I think they're going to go on an absolute rampage again, even without Chubb. And that defense is nothing to sneeze at. Okay.
No. And let's just get things something straight. I absolutely hope that you hit this pick. This is one of those games that I would look at and I tend to stay away from, because I could see it going either way. But you are right. The Browns looked really good last week. I think that they don't get enough credit, but I think Mayfield is just such a wild card, man. You don't know which Mayfield you're going to get week to week.
Everyone's talking about New England now and saying how they're going to make the playoffs. They're still the Patriots. Bill Belichick's back, and I think all that noise this week made this line very favorable for the Browns.
Well, for the sportsman's sake, I hope the Browns win by 21, folks. I really do. Or I hope they lose by 2.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, that's going to about do it for us. Those are our picks. This has been the podcast. Those are our topics. We are the sportsmen. We love talking to you every week, folks. We really do. This is a joy for us, and we can't wait to keep doing it. All right, that's it. Sign off here, Cutsy.
Another week, another awesome episode. Ticket. This just continues to get more fun week in, week out. We're now down 3 episodes. Looking forward to a lot more. Let's hope we hit these picks. We got 2 picks to hit. Hope you enjoy listening, and we will continue firing your way, folks. Have a great week.